Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I mean, we did a victory Friday. Why not do another victory Monday? We like victories around here, right? We like victories, celebrating them, talking about them, and that's what we do here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Welcome in, Sal Capaccio. It is a Buffalo Bills Football Monday, and the Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday, especially on a Victory Monday, is presented by Catholic Health. Catholic Health, the right way to care, by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Speed Global, around the corner or around the world, Speed delivers. All right, so we have a lot to get to today here on the Extra Point Show. And like I said, we have a full slate of different things to talk about today. I want to start with something I brought up on social media a little bit earlier today and ask you to chime in on this. 803-0550 is the number, 803-0550. Simple. Give me your top three most impressive teams in the AFC. Because I sat around yesterday and watched a whole bunch of football that I said, yeah, not super impressed with that team. And not really feeling like that team is going to be necessarily there at the end. I guess at the end of the day, you know what it was? Here's actually my thought. I'm going to say this to you and Josh, you can react to this, all right? You ready? Josh Schmidt, producing today in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. You know what I had a big thought yesterday. It was like just kind of creeped in my head, and maybe it's just kind of biased because of what happened Thursday night. I said, it's Bills Chiefs again, isn't it? That's really what I just said that to myself. Like, it's Bills Chiefs.
I mean, so far, yeah. The Bengals have evaporated. And the Ravens,
I mean, it's what they always do at the early season. Yeah. Although they played a good game yesterday and they should have won. It came down to one play at the end where they screwed it up and there was a pass interference that should not have. It was pass interference, by the way, but he shouldn't have done it. He shouldn't have hit him. He had no reason to hit him.
Right, yeah. And the Ravens, too, I mean, they're just tripping all over themselves right now. I don't think they're a bad team.
Really interesting one for me. Yeah, I agree with you. Like, that's an interesting one. So, if I go back and look at yesterday, right, we want to do this today. I want to talk about the Bills. I want to talk about their upcoming game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. A lot to get to today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I want to talk about all that today, but if I go back and look at everything that happened over the weekend, I mean, first of all, the Raiders knocked me out of my death pool. I was already out last week, and then I bought back in, and then I'm out now. So I was out because I took the Patriots to lose, but of course, the Bengals couldn't hold up their end of the bargain. This is week one. So then I'm like, okay, I'll just buy back in. And I did, and I bought in. I took the Jets to lose. I was good. This is in Paul Hamilton's death pool that I'm in. You get allowed to buy back week one because, you know, it's not over if you want to try again. So I did. And then this week I'm like, okay, I'm going to take the Raiders. And I will say, though, for AFC and Bills purposes, I am not upset the Raiders beat the Ravens to knock the Ravens to 0-2. But that said, now I'm out of my survivor pool. Death pool, actually, in this case. Okay, we have today a lot going on, like I said. And what I want to do is not only talk to you about who are the most impressive teams in the AFC, but what you have really liked about the Bills so far. Let's kind of keep the good vibes rolling today. What have you really liked about the Bills? Because they are different, right? I like what Nick Wright said. You have the sound from Nick Wright from earlier. I heard you play this. Good, it's good because it's a really good soundbite. But I also want to say, okay, and I'm going to get to it in a minute. If you listen to this show, if you listen to us, you listen to me, I've said what Nick Wright is saying, but it's okay. This is national media who's not as close to the situation here. So this is not banging on Nick Wright. He said what he said is right. No pun intended. But we've been saying it. I've been saying a lot of these things for a while. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But there's so many things about the Bills for 2 weeks that I can be impressed with and that you can be impressed with. And beating the Miami Dolphins 31-10 on Thursday night to get them to 2-0. I mean, obviously a lot in that game specifically. But you rewind the game against the Cardinals. How impressive does that look now? Yes, there are always concerns. I'll give you a concern. In fact, we could do that too. You can call up today, 803-0550. It's a normal Monday Extra Point show, so it's just me and you. Phone lines are ready. I have open phone lines right now. Whatever's on your mind. I always say this on the Monday Extra Point show, okay? I always say, you call up, you make a contribution to the show, I'll give you the floor. You say what you need to say. You can agree with me, disagree with me, ask a question, just give your comments, hang up, whatever you want to do. But just make a thoughtful contribution to the show when you do it. And that's what I'd like to do today. So 803-0550. In the meantime, while we do this today, I'd also like to keep it, you know, the good vibes rolling, like I said, which is talking about how impressive this team has been on a lot of different levels. Coaching, playing, guys filling in. Always. Seems like someone's stepping up. Okay, you can listen at WGR550, WGR550.com, and on the Odyssey app. You can also watch me, hello, on the WGR Facebook page. So if you go to Facebook.com/WGR550, right there, saying hello to you. You can give a call. 803-0550 is the number. I've been... Okay, let me get to the Nick Wright thing. So, for months, I would go on radio stations around the country, or TV stations, or whatever, and they'd say, oh my God, Bills, changes, all these changes with the Bills. They're losing all this talent. Is this a step back year? And look, of course I recognize they lost a lot of talented players and a lot of leaders. That's been a big talking point, right? But one thing I would always say is, hey, some of the guys they lost, they haven't been like super big contributors over the last couple of years because of injuries. They are getting older. I mean, think about it. And I would say this on these stations, which is Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde. Jordan Poyer was not the same player last year in Buffalo. I think we all recognize that. Micah Hyde, very good player still, getting a little bit older, but not. But he had injuries. He had injuries. He had the neck injury. He didn't play a lot of football over the last couple of years, as much football. Tre'Davious White, we all know, he basically, unfortunately, had two season-ending injuries and only played a handful of games, maybe half the games total when you go back to the injury in Thanksgiving, and then when he got hurt again in week four. Gabe Davis, very polarizing player. I think Gabe was a contributor, a good contributor to this Buffalo Bills squad over the last several years. But it wasn't like he was wide receiver one. That was Stephon Diggs, and that was a significant loss, also getting a little bit older. But the point I was making, and a point I would make on these shows is, sure, the Bills lost a lot of name players. But a lot of these name players didn't necessarily, they weren't their better players over the last few years. A couple of them, okay, I think Mitch Morris is a really good player. Stephon Diggs, yes, you can say that for sure. But I think it was more about seeing the shock of the transition of names at once. Oh my God, at one time, Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious White, Mitch Morse, there goes Gabe, Stephon Diggs, all like kind of boom, right? And it was the shock of everyone going, okay, there it is. There's the Bills' step back here. I'd say, let's hold on a minute. Yes, those are good players, and maybe it really significantly hurts them. There are also some players who really didn't have as big of a role over the last few years, and they're getting older. So let's kind of slow down and see what they can do here through this transition. So here's Nick Wright on FS1 talking about this very, very thing, and he's exactly right. Josh, you got Nick Wright? Okay. Thank you.
I think the media overrated their aging talent that left the team while they were there. And that overrating of those players once they left made them underrate what the team was going to be this year, okay, because they thought they had lost a bunch of great players, and I thought they had lost a bunch of players. To me, the reality is a healthy Josh Allen is going to get you a top 10 offense. Sean McDermott is going to get you, no matter who the personnel is, in the regular season, an above average defense. Absolutely. At the least.
Who had Nick Wright talking the most sense about the Buffalo Bills on their bingo board today? Not me. But he's right. No pun intended. That's his last name. He is right. You can say what you want, and Nick, of course, is a shock jock. He says a lot of things that angers Buffalo Bills fans. He's a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and he needles Bills fans. I get it. He's right there. What he said is absolutely right. It's what I've said for a few months. Now, it's 2 weeks, folks. It's 2 weeks. I am the let's not overreact guy, let's not underreact guy. I am to either way, right? I'm that guy. I'm the guy that tries to bring sense to all of that and says, hey, let's not go too far and put him in the Super Bowl. Let's not go too far and fire people. I mean, it's 2 weeks, right? But I'm just here to tell you that through 2 weeks, it looks like some of the transition they made were the right calls for the right reasons. 803-0550 is the number, and I think that's what Jim wants to say, too. Go ahead, Jim. You're up first on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make mention that it was a good time to get rid of Jordan Poyer. I knew he was getting old and moving a lot slower than he used to, and James Cook proved that.
Okay, yeah, listen. That was right in front of me, and I think you saw it, I saw it, we all saw it, which was, to me, exactly what I've seen over the last few years, last year at least, which was Jordan Poyer just a little bit late getting to something, just taking that angle that he didn't get there, where maybe earlier in his career, he got there. Jordan Poyer was an excellent Buffalo Bills player. He deserves, I mean, he's, like, to me, a guy that you could put on the Wall of Fame someday for what he did for this organization. And how he played, and what he meant to some of these top defenses. But Jim, I agree with you. That's a case where it probably was time. And maybe even a year ago was time. But they tried it one more time to run it back. And his role changed last year. That's because of what you're saying. And we saw it happen on Thursday night, like it looked like basically last year. Let's go to Robert out in Arizona. Good morning to you. What do you got? About 7:13. Not too bad out there.
No, not terrible at all. Beautiful weather for Arizona heat.
Hey, it's beautiful out here too, man. We're like 81 for a high today.
Nice, nice. Well, I just have to say, I've been on the fence of being a Bills fan, even though I was raised in North Tonawanda and then moved transplanted to Arizona, that I have now, over the last 4 years, become a diehard Bills fan. I absolutely love what the Bills are doing, spreading the ball around. I think all the trash talking about our defense, I think our defense kind of put that on prime TV, that they're here, they're ready to go, next man up if someone falls down, and I'm super excited for this season.
You got it, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate that. 803-0550, good morning to you out there in Arizona. What has been impressive by the Bills from you so far through 2 weeks? Give me something on the league. Who's been impressive? Who hasn't? I have my teams that I've looked at. I mean, yesterday we could go through every game here if we want. I mean, at some point I might do that, you know, just kind of touch on them, but especially the AFC. Because, folks, if you look at the AFC standings right now. Oh, okay. I just clicked this. I didn't realize this. I don't know why are the Bills? Because they played a... How come Kansas City's not in the driver's seat here? Oh, that's because... Oh, I got to send this out. Hold on. Let me do a screenshot. Okay. Here we go. I'm doing this right now. You know what I just saw? Josh, here we go, buddy. I'm going to do this right now. I'm going to put this out. I thought Kansas City would be the current number one seed in the AFC after 2 weeks because they're 2-0 with two conference wins. The Bills have a one conference win. Kansas City is not the number one seed. Do you know who is the number one seed currently as constructed in the AFC? Do you know who it is?
The Texans?
That is not correct.
I'm not sure then. That's my only other guess.
Hold on.
Is it the Bills?
AFC standings through week two. Standings and seedings, I'll say. Seedings. And people are going to say, wait. There it is. It is the Bills. Go check it out. Here's why. Take a look at the standings, all right? The Bills are the number one seed right now in the overall in the AFC because the Chargers are actually ahead of the Chiefs in the West, which puts the Chiefs as the number five seed. So because of that, and then the Bills leap the Chargers. Now I have to figure out why. Who did the Chargers beat? They beat an NFC team. Oh, because the Chargers have a division win and the Chiefs do not yet. Okay, that's why. Here's how it works, okay? You break your ties in division first, all right? Chargers 2-0, Chiefs 2-0. But Chargers, one win in the division. Chiefs haven't played a division yet. So Chargers are ahead of them. So only the top four teams, only the division winners can be the top four seeds. So because the Chiefs are not a division winner right now, a division leader, they go to five. So then why are the Chargers not ahead of the Bills? Because both teams have, all these teams are 2-0, by the way. Bills, Chargers, Texans, Steelers. I believe they all have one. Yes, they all have one conference win and one non-conference win. That's why the Bills get put up there. It goes to the whatever tiebreaker here. I got to see what tie. Is this like net points or something? It might be. It might be that. There you go. As I said before, are we talking Bills Chiefs again? The other thing I thought about yesterday is, like, going into the year, I remember the conversation we had. Do you remember the conversation we had week one? We said, who do you want to win, Chiefs or Ravens, right? Remember that? Who do you want to win, Chiefs or Ravens? And one of the things that came out of it was, just let the Chiefs win. You're not going to be chasing them for the number one seed. Maybe you are. Maybe this is a race for the number one seed again. Chiefs and Bills. And oh, by the way, how about the Chiefs now losing Isaiah Pacheco at least for 4 weeks, maybe much longer? That news came out from Adam Schefter this morning. We might as well make that part of our Barnes Firm injury report, the Barnes injury report. Brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. We'll get into the Bills injuries a little bit later and do the same thing. Yeah. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco hurt. Now look, the Bills are dealing with their own injuries. We're going to find out about Terrell Bernard. I'll get to Bills injuries a little bit later. But let's stay on the Chiefs for a second. Isaiah Pacheco being injured? Big blow for them. I mean, he's a guy they rely on a lot. Let's see what they've done here. Because, the Chiefs were handing off to a fullback in a critical situation yesterday. They're also the Chiefs. It seems like they make a move for somebody, generally a wide receiver. And then how about the news? This is actually a double blow for them. The Chiefs not only lost Isaiah Pacheco, they lost Hollywood Brown, who hasn't even played for them for the year, for the season, for at least the regular season. Over a span of like 3 days, they found that out. So the Chiefs are going to have to, but last year they won with defense. I'm not burying them at all. Of course not. I'm saying that they're dealing with some issues. And in Pacheco being out is a major blow to them. That's their guy. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Andy Reid starts running Xavier Worthy a lot more because that's what he'll do something. But they're gonna have to figure out their running back situation. Let's see the Chiefs depth chart real quick. I'm going to go to the Chiefs depth chart. And if you look right now, you got Isaiah Pacheco and then Samaje Perine. There you go. So Perine's the next guy in line. Carson Steele is the fullback they gave the ball to, who had a fumble early in the game, but they kept giving it back to him later. That's what it looks like. So Isaiah Pacheco expected to be placed on IR, fibula injury. This according to Adam Schefter, within the hour. He'll miss at least 4 games, and they're going to test. It could be a lot longer. Let's go to Alex in Halifax. I like the way that sounds. Hi, Alex.
Hey, how are you today?
Good, thanks.
Good, good. Listen, just want to comment on, I think, everything you're saying. I agree 100%. But one thing I want to say is this team looks like it's Josh's team now. Mm. And when they do everything, they're having fun. Yes, they make mistakes, but they're having fun. And they look like a team. And the other little quick comment was, I just wanted to mention, you know, people speak of Josh Allen and trash talking. I have to give him props there when he looked at King after whatever King said to him during the game. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, is that his name, King? But either way, the guy, you mean he looked at his back of his jersey, right?
Oh, yeah. You know something was said there, and Josh just kind of...
Who are you? Who are you? That's right. I know.
Exactly.
I love it,
exactly.
Alex. Thank you. That was so fun. That was so fun. Yeah, good job by Josh. I mean, Josh has been well known to be a trash talker for quite a while. I mean, go watch the NFL's top 100, and when they talk about Josh Allen, these guys are like, yeah, he is a trash talker. And that's why when it gets, oh, he's like listed as overrated, number one overrated guy. I think there's a correlation there, by the way. When you're the number one trash talker and they say you're the number one overrated guy, it's probably because you talk trash and people don't like you and they get frustrated. That's why, and you're really good. 803-0550 is the number. We have some open phone lines right now. You can chime in. You'll get in today. It's your chance to say whatever you want about the Bills, however you're feeling after watching yesterday, sitting back. I always say this, okay? And this is not in a condescending way whatsoever. Fans are going to be fans of their team, so they're going to be dialed into their team. So I totally get it, right? But I always tell fans and ask you and really suggest to you and whatever, strongly suggested wording as possible. Just watch the league as much as you can and pay attention. If you're so focused on just your team and then you just kind of get bits and pieces and play fantasy football for the rest, your standard is going to be so out of whack of what you think the Buffalo Bills should be. The league is tough. It's tough for all these teams. Watch the rest of the league, what's going on. Don't just watch your team and then play fantasy football and think that everybody else is scoring touchdowns and doesn't do anything wrong. I mean, for the Bills to be 2-0 after playing the Cardinals and Dolphins, which we'll get to in a minute, is really good. Look around the league. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams are 2-0 in the AFC. How many in the NFC? Here we go. How many teams in the NFC are 2-0? I got you right here. Just got to click this button. Okay. 3, 4. 4. One could add them tonight. So you could have 5 after tonight if Philadelphia wins. So it's already paring down. It's tough. But think of the teams that already have at least one loss. The Jets, the Browns, the Dolphins, the Broncos, the Bengals have 2, the Ravens have 2, the Jags have 2. And on the other side, Detroit already with a loss, San Francisco already with a loss, Dallas already with a loss, Green Bay with a loss. The Rams are 0-2. Man, got to get to the Cardinals, the Rams. A lot that happened yesterday, more injuries. All right, so today, sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, look ahead to the next game. It's all going to come your way here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Before we do that, let's get to Taylor in Salt Lake City. Hi, Taylor.
Hey, Sal. How are you, man?
I'm good, thanks.
Hey, just want to bring up, I know you were speaking on our aging groups last, you know, Hyde, Poyer. I want to give a shout out to Brandon Bean for finding these undrafted rookies or undrafted agents out of Buffalo, right? Ingram, and we haven't seen much of Andreessen yet, but I think he's going to play a pivotal role as we go into our depth. So just wanted to bring that up and say I think Brandon Bean's done a great job there.
Yeah, Taylor, thank you for bringing it up. I'll touch on Joe Andreessen, but I think you bring up a good point that's a much larger point that I want to make that I wanted to get to today. I'm going to do that as soon as I come back. So thanks a lot for calling, buddy, okay? I appreciate that.
You bet, bro.
All right, yeah, you got it. This actually, I'm glad Taylor brought this up. There is a much larger point here to be had about the Bills and finding talent and this talent developing and playing. I want to give you that point that I don't think a lot of people have kind of really soaked in or brought up about it. But I'll bring it to you from my perspective when we return here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. In fact, We will do a lot more. We'll look ahead to the next game. We'll do a lot more here on the Monday show. And, of course, we'll be back in a snap brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Second down, 9. Darnold getting messy, going deep, and he's got Jefferson. He's got Jefferson. It's a foot race downfield with Brown shifting gears, getting a block. That's 6. 97 yards. Holy smokes.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Yeah, but can he go one more yard to match Ryan Fitzpatrick to Terrell Owens? That happened. That was in Jacksonville, wasn't that against Jacksonville? Yeah, 2009. I'm kidding because that was a great sensational play, obviously, by one of the best in the game, Justin Jefferson. Kevin Harlan on the call right there. Justin Jefferson, a 97-yard touchdown pass from Sam Darnold, catch and run. The Vikings are what I would say a surprising 2-0. Really nice job by them. 2-0 so far for Minnesota. And impressive beating the San Francisco 49ers, 23-17. 49ers are banged up, but you know what? The Vikings last week take care of business, ho-hum, against the Giants, 28-6. 49ers, different animal, 23-17, a little banged up, doesn't matter. I was wrong about the Vikings. I think a lot of us were. I was wrong. I said the Vikings could be vying for the number one overall pick. I also did say, where I was right, that I think maybe Sam Darnold playing is better than J.J. McCarthy playing for them, and that's what it looks like here. But this stinks for the Bills because the Bills have the Vikings' second-round pick, and you want them to be bad. However, this week, root for the Vikings maybe because they're playing the Houston Texans. It's all convoluted. It's all confusing. So just a little while ago, we had a caller bring up some of the undrafted guys in stepping up. Joe Andreessen, to me, will get his opportunity, very well could get his opportunity this week, Monday night. Because really, without Terrell Bernard, you're going to have another linebacker active. And that's either Andreessen or Eddie Ulofosio. And to me, from what I saw in preseason, the way that they treated Andreessen as the backup middle linebacker to call the plays, he would be the natural guy to be the next guy in line behind Bailyn Spector. So I'm expecting, as of right now, that Joe Andreessen would be active next Monday night to make his NFL debut in a Bills uniform. But you never know. Could be Eddie Ulofosio as well. He's been inactive so far. Could they maybe have Nicholas Morrow play there? But you still have to have one more active, right? So we'll see where it goes. Of course, we know what Jamarcus Ingram is doing. He is off to a fantastic start. We know what Cam Lewis is doing. He's off to a really great start. And a caller a little while ago just kind of wanted to bring that up. This is something I've been thinking about here for a little while that I think needs to be mentioned. Okay. We all know the Bills have done a really good job developing players who step up and play well when called upon. This has not been a new phenomenon, folks. Player development in this organization is as good as it's ever been, at least since the 90s. And it's some of the best in the league. There are organizations that are very good at developing players because they're consistent. They're just there. I think the Chiefs have obviously been, although obviously having Mahomes helps everything, having Josh, but the Chiefs have been good at developing players. Look what they did last year with their defense. I think the Ravens have always been a very good team at developing players. I think the Steelers have always been pretty good at developing players under Mike Tomlin. It's why they're right where they are. They might not win the Super Bowl every year. They're always in the mix, really good. Like, it's just there's organizations that are just good at this. They develop players. They have a plan. They coach them up. And they put them in situations where they succeed. But there's a common thread between all those teams I mentioned, including and specifically focused on the Bills. This does not happen without consistency in the organization between your GM, his staff, and the coach and his staff. Now, you can have coordinators turnover. You can have assistant coaches turnover. That happens every year. What I'm talking about is this, mostly. Think about it for a second. You have a GM and a head coach who are entering their eighth year together. That just is rare in the NFL. But because of the consistency, because they are in line with their philosophies on what they want to do on both sides of the ball, it allows Brandon Bean, and this was the caller's point of, hey, he finds these guys. Look, it's not just finding the guys. It's one thing to say. It's not like they're finding these undrafted free agents who are hit right away, right? Oh, my God, we got a guy. First, you know, we found him undrafted. He's starting for us. That can happen. Christian Benford was a sixth-round pick, and he was a good player right away. That can happen. You can have those guys. But what they're doing, what the Bills are doing is, Brandon Bean is drafting and finding, and his staff, undrafted free agents for the short term to develop for the long term. They're playing the long game with these guys. And the only way you can do that is if you have consistency in your coaching as well, in your head coach. The GM could say, hey, let's take this guy. He might be good in 2 years. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter if the head coach is gone within a year because now you have a whole new regime and a whole new philosophy. If you go from Chan Gailey to Doug Marrone to Rex Ryan to Sean McDermott over a 10-year span, really, you went over a 4-year span with that, it seemed, I think. If you go over even a 5-6-year span and you have 4 different head coaches, I mean, heck, when was Gailey? Gailey was through 13. So from 13 through 17, 4 head coaches. Rex for 2 years, right? Think about that. Crazy. Well, actually, I shouldn't say it that way. It was 12. Marrone was 2013. So 5-year span, 4 head coaches. When that happens, the GM goes, okay, now what do you need as a head coach? Well, this is what I need. Well, guess what? These guys we just had, they're no longer useful because they play a different system. They play a different scheme. They have different talent and skills than what we're trying to shift to. They're a different body type. And you have to redo everything. It's what happens all the time in the NFL. When you change, it's not impossible to win when you change regimes. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, think about a guy like Jamarcus Ingram. Does Jamarcus Ingram develop into what we think he is right now, or in what he can be, if the Bills change their head coach over the last couple of years? Does Brandon Bean find a certain type of player to be developed by that coaching staff now, or 2 years ago, if, you know, they know that their coach is going to be changed? I hope I'm making sense here. The consistency of what Brandon Bean is able to do, or the whole philosophy of what he's able to do, is really brought out because of the consistency and the alignment and the continuity of the organization. It's something NFL teams, sports teams, NFL teams dream of. Teams dream of having this. They dream of having a GM and a head coach who are together and aligned and know what they want, because it's the gift that keeps on giving. Hey, guy gets hurt. Guess what? We got this guy 2 years ago who's been sitting on our practice squad who we developed in this system. He knows exactly what to do. It kind of doesn't happen if you have a different system every year. So that's the point I want to make about that, which is, I'm not telling you here that guys should have jobs forever either. Don't take it that way. But let's have a little appreciation here for the continuity and consistency the Bills have and what it's allowed them to put on the field and develop over the last few years versus what we went through for 20 freaking years here. I mean, how many times did we hear continuity, consistency, and they would never have it? And we'd have GMs and head coaches paraded around and say it in front office executives and whatever. Continuity, consistency, continuity, consistency. Got to have it, got to have it. We're going to have a GM and a head coach align. And it was baloney. They just weren't. And they didn't win. And you changed them over. And now you have it. And that's why Cam Lewis can be here for 6 years, first three of which he didn't even play, really. And then now he's doing what he's doing. That's why Jamarcus Ingram can be here in his third year, first two of which he didn't play. And that's why he's doing what he's doing. That's why Alec Anderson can be here for 3 years, first two of which he didn't really play. And that's why he's doing what he's doing as the sixth offensive lineman, backup center. You can transition and allow a guy like a Mitch Morris to move on and say, oh, we have another guy in, like, I know they moved Connor McGovern, and Alec Anderson will be fine at center if we have to play him there. We've developed him because we have consistency and continuity in what we want here in these players. This is what's happening with the Buffalo Bills. This is why, on top of the first thing of Josh Allen, this team is still going to be good for a while. It may be different. It doesn't mean it has to be worse. 803-0550 on the Catholic Health Extra Point Show, on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Catholic Health, on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday, the right way to care. It's brought to you by Northwest Bank as well. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Rob in Connecticut. Hi, Rob.
Good morning, Sal. You know, God, I love it. I enjoy listening to you. You have such passion. Oh, my God. You just got me all fired up. You know, I'm sitting here listening to you, and before the season started, there was, like, a lot of question marks as a Bills fan. Like, and now they're starting to be answered just by the last two games that we played. With the Miami game, you know, one of the concerns was, how are we going to be able to contain Waddle and Hill because they're so fast? And then I started thinking about the Kansas City game, and I know it's a ways off, but if we are able to kind of go into that game, and I know every game has its own DNA, which you always say.
I always say that. Yes, I do.
If we are able to go into that Kansas City game to keep everything in front of us like we had our safeties doing, and then our linebackers taking away that seam from Kelsey, I think we could make it very interesting for that game, the regular game. But down the road, if we're able to do that in the playoffs, if we get to the playoffs, I think we're very capable of handling Kansas City this year.
That is a long way the way, though, Rob. Let's work. I know. And hey, you and I always say this on the radio. You and I on the radio or whatever we're doing, we can talk about that, no doubt. Like, we're not the players or coaches who have to say focus on one game. But, man, there's so many things that change between now and then is all my point is.
But it was just an impressive display of defense.
Yes.
That they,
for sure,
they showed against Miami. And they are fast. And so is Kansas City. And, like, if we're able to spy on Mahomes, I mean, he's a different quarterback than Tua.
I have some concerns.
One game at a time. That's all we got to take. I want to concentrate on what we got Monday night.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're putting the cart before the horse, but it's all good. I get it. You're excited, and
hey,
you should be.
My questions are starting to be answered one game at a time, though. I believe in this team.
Okay.
I know a lot of people had a hard time with the change, but change is good sometimes. With that, I'll have you take over.
Okay, Rob. Thank you. Listen, there's a lot that can happen between now and then. The Chiefs just lost Isaiah Pacheco, and they're not going to get Hollywood Brown back. The Bills just lost Terrell Bernard. Which gets me to a little concern I have about the Bills against the Jags. We will talk more about this game next hour, but I'm going to give you a concern initially I have about the Jags next week that I'll bring up when we come back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Bills victory football Monday.
We'll be right back. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, the tailgates are up, so let's celebrate at Northtown Kia's Telluride Tailgates every Saturday in September. Enjoy complimentary tailgate food, Paul's Donuts, plus giveaways of official Buffalo Bills Northtown gear. Enter to win a Northtown Buffalo Bills game day experience, including two tickets to a Bills game, parking, and tailgate supplies. No purchase necessary. And while you're there, check out the great pricing on new and used Kias. Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst, Northtown Automotive Group, official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills. My concern that I teased about next week's game, the Jags are going to try and to exploit the Bills' linebackers in coverage. Without Terrell Bernard, without Matt Milano already thinking, okay, that's not Dorian Williams' strength, and now Baylen Spector. So, and, you know, these guys, Spector and Williams together, I'd be a bit concerned about coverage from the linebacker level. Now, we'll see if they get Taron Johnson back. That also obviously would help, although Cam Lewis has played well there, but that's that same level. But linebackers specifically, I think the Jags will look at that, and that's how they'll try to beat the Bills to keep them basically on their heels, is linebackers in coverage. That's what concerns me right now as I look at this game. As we look forward, we're going to do a lot more of that next hour when we look forward to our next game. In the meantime, let's go to Gary in Cheektowaga. Hi, Gary. You're on the Extra Point Show.
Yeah, hi. I watched all the games, just about all the games yesterday, and for the most part. And a lot of the teams are reminding me about the way the Bills are playing. You know, they're running the ball more, yeah, and they're spreading the ball around, and the quarterbacks are running and. It seems I saw something similar in all the teams, even on the defenses. They're trying to pressure the quarterbacks more, and I don't know. Maybe I'm just
I think you're right 100%. I think this is the new way the league is going, Gary. I think these teams are just not they don't want to allow you to go down the field quickly on them, so they're forcing all these teams to just move it methodically, which is lending more towards a run game and a short passing game.
Yeah. I guess so. I thought maybe I was hallucinating or something.
No, you're good, buddy. I got you. I think this is 100% right. I think it's a philosophy the Bills have employed here and what I expect more of as this season goes on. It's a good call, Gary. I appreciate it. That's Getting Connected with Our Fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. You know what I did this morning? I like to go back and watch like certain coaches' post-game press conferences, and especially who the Bills play or who the next opponent is. So I went back and watched the Jaguars this morning. Doug Peterson, and I'm not kidding you, he was as deflated or dejected as you could ever imagine a head coach sounding and looking in the NFL after a game. It was tough. Like, you watch that and you're like, wow. And then Trevor Lawrence, their quarterback, the Jags, he was mad. And he should be. And I was impressed with Trevor Lawrence. Go watch his press conference. He's at the podium. He's not calling specific people out, but he's calling out the team. That's a leader. And he's doing it. I actually liked his press conference, the way he went about it. It all added up to me of, this is going to be a tough game for the Bills Monday night. It will be a tough game. I mean, even so much like the Jags have started off poorly, like their first two games, and Peterson's like, that's something we need to look at and see. I think the Jags are going to come out and be ready for this game. They're going to have a tough, strong week of practice. It's a tough spot for them to come into Buffalo. The Bills are favored. They should be. The Bills are the better team, I think. And they're at home on a Monday night. We'll get into a lot more of that as we roll into the next hour. And then next hour, we'll look ahead to our next game. We'll do sit up, stand down, hey, buddy. We'll get to our injury report as far as the Bills are concerned and look around the NFL. A lot more to get to. Hour number two of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is on the way. Don't forget, we're on Facebook right now, streaming. You can say hi to me. You can comment right there. WGR's Facebook page. It's facebook.com/WGR550.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Tua is such a great competitor, but I think this has to be a medical decision. You have to let medical people who understand the circumstances around these injuries, these concussions. When you have multiple concussions, that's not a good sign. Tua and his family and everyone else should listen to all the medical evidence and make sure that you're not compromising your future health-wise by continuing to play football. But I think that's a medical decision. I don't think that's something for me to speculate on, and I know a lot of people are doing it. The family should not be influenced by that. Tua should not be influenced by that. It should be all based on medical professionals.
Yeah, that's Nick Saban on the Tua Tagovailoa situation. Obviously, really tough to see what happened Thursday night. We talked about it on Friday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll see what happens with Tua. The report is he's not considering retirement. And Nick is right there, right? Coach Saban says, hey, it's not my call to tell him what to do, to speculate. That's what something he has to work through, and that's right. Someone said to me after the game, well, it's no one has a right to tell him what to do. That's right. Yeah, but I mean, people will have opinions, right? People will have opinions what we do. You could call up right now and say he should retire. That's fine. That's your opinion, but it's up to him. It's his life and his career. And that's a decision he's got to make with his family and medical, as Saban points out there. I thought Teddy Bruschi was very, very good on this over the weekend. I don't know. You don't have the Bruschi sound, do you? I think Josh is going to grab the Bruschi sound. And it's a bit long, so we don't have to necessarily play it, Josh. But what Bruschi said was Bruschi had a stroke. And he said, listen, doctors don't tell you black and white a lot of times. They tell you the gray. They'll give you the information so you can make your informed decision. It's exactly right. It's exactly right. And if you've ever been in that situation, doctor's going to say, here's what you can do. Here are your options. I can tell you the risks involved with each. I can tell you the benefits involved in each. That's what a good doctor's supposed to do, right? And then you go from there. And you make that decision based on your life with your family, your decision, and you and your career. And that's what Tua's got to do here. And we'll see. In the meantime, the Dolphins have apparently signed Tyler Huntley to their active roster, I would guess. Active roster, I don't know. Maybe. Did they put Tua on IR? Either way, they're bringing in Tyler Huntley. I actually thought they would look at Mike White because he had been there all year, all offseason, and then he was released. Then he went to the Bills, and he's on their practice squad. So I thought they might go from Mike White, but apparently that's not the case. Sal Capaccio here, hour number two on a Victory Monday Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is a Catholic Health Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Always, our Buffalo Football Monday is brought to you by Northwest Bank, as I just said. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And we'll also bring you a lot more this hour as we look ahead to the Jacksonville Jaguars on the back end of it. In the meantime, let's get back connected with our fans, Wayne in Cheektowaga. Hi, Wayne.
How are you doing, Sal?
I'm good, thanks.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. I love the show.
Thank you, buddy.
I got a question about Bean and, the scout. Who are the scouts behind the scenes that, find these players?
They have a lot of them. They have what's called regional scouts. They have, I don't know if they're Blesto scouts anymore, but basically they have regional scouts, and then they have people on top of them, player personnel. There's a college personnel department. Okay, Wayne, how it works is when you have a college personnel department, that they're just focused on the college players, right? And they go to these games. They have regional scouts. They go to the Southeast or the Northeast or the Southwest. They go to these games. And then they have a pro scouting department. Their job is to look at guys around the league who might be becoming free agents, or, hey, down the road, there's a guy that we'd be interested in if we ever get to a point where he's a free agent or we could trade for them. And then you have people at the top of the organization, like Brandon Bean, like Terrence Gray, like Brian Gain, who are kind of all-encompassing and bring all of that together, if that makes sense.
Yeah, certainly. I was just wondering about that.
Yeah.
That's good. And I just had one saying I've heard that I go by. I think you will, too, is someone once said, you're never as good as you think you are, and you're never as bad as you think you are. So I like to pump. You know, it's a great start. I hope we're as good as we think we are, but I like to pump the brakes a little.
You got it, buddy. Yeah, you got it. That's a good call, and you're right about that. And you know the way I like to keep it here. Some of the names you asked for, I just wanted to bring them up. I didn't want to leave anybody out. I brought up Brian Gain. He's the assistant GM. Terrence Gray is player personnel. So that's all encompassing. That's college and pro. Matt Bazargan is the director of college scouting. That's his department. He focuses on college scouting. Malik Boyd is a senior personnel advisor, so he's kind of involved in everything there. Lake Dawson, a senior executive. And then you get to Chris Morrow, who is a direct co-director of pro scouting, which is just on the pro side, as I said. Asil Muba. Chris Rukavina, pro scouting. Mubaz, pro scouting. Alonzo Dotson, a college national scout. I'm reading off their website. You asked about some names. Brian Fisher is an area scout. Andrea Gosper is a player personnel coordinator. And then you have your area scouts I talked about, these regional area scouts. Pete Harris, Keith Jennings, Vince Magri. Hope I say all these names right. Tyler Pratt. Darius Vinette. You have Mike Zabo, who's a college scout, and then RJ Webb is a Blesto scout. What's a Blesto scout? Blesto is an organization that helps put a list together every year for teams in the NFL from college. They say, hey, we're going to get together at this big meeting. Here's the guys that are going to be eligible coming out of college. It's like this organization that does it, and you have like a liaison there, a scout that actually helps kind of go through that list. That's RJ Webb's job, too. So there you go. You asked? Hopefully gave it to you. Steve in Orchard Park, what's up?
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Just a couple things. Overall, you know, I think the Bills, it appears that we have more depth in the secondary than we thought. Kind of worried about the safety position. But, you know, the two guys that are playing there now are doing a pretty good job. And we got Edwards and the kid we drafted, you know,
Bishop.
Ready to come. Right, Bishop, if we need to be. So that looks good. Overall, though, I'm hoping we get Smoot back and Javon Solomon for the next game.
Yeah.
That would be interesting to see Solomon play in the regular season. And Smoot is a really good kind of two-dimensional tackle-type end player who's really solid. The other thing is this. These two teams don't like each other, and I think that goes back to the 9-6 game, I believe it was, a few years ago. We lost down there. And then last season, they were pretty well rested. They had been in, was it London, for 2 weeks before we got there. And we flew in on a Thursday, and obviously it was kind of a disaster. So now it's kind of the opposite. They got to fly to Buffalo. They're 0-2. The pressure's really on them. If they don't win, they're looking at a tough season. So I think we're going to get their best game. But it's going to be pretty rowdy in that stadium. And, you know, I just hope we're ready to give them a little payback, because that's what I'm saying.
You got it, buddy. You got it. Good call, Steve. Thank you very much. We got a couple from up north. Let's go first to Ryan in Toronto. Hi, Ryan.
Sad, I love the show, bro.
Thanks, buddy.
Touching back on Tua and the Dolphins situation, I'm surprised they have not reached out to Tannehill.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about that maybe. But, you know, to get a guy like Ryan Tannehill, I don't know what kind of money he's going to want. That's always a factor. You have to remember that, Ryan, right? Like, hey, what is he going to want? He's going to want to be the starting quarterback. Are they looking for a starter, or are they looking for a backup to Skylar Thompson? Because let's remember, we also don't know, are they thinking Tua's going to be back in a month or so, or 2 months? So you got to be very careful about those kinds of things. It's always a tough needle to thread a little bit there. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what Ryan Tannehill's thinking. It always takes two, you know?
Yeah, but wasn't he drafted by the Dolphins?
Oh, yeah, he played well there for, you know, he had a decent career. He moved on. He wasn't a bad quarterback. He wasn't great. But, yeah, he was there for many years.
Okay. Two more things as well. Baltimore Ravens, good on paper, man. But you know what? Horrible time of game management. And secondly, Houston Texans, they look scary, man. They look scary.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Texans? They do look good, although I just thought that they couldn't put away the Browns last night. Browns, Bears. Couldn't put away the Bears. The Bears looked like the Bengals or the Browns last night in their uniforms. The Texans couldn't put away the Bears last night, and they should have been able to. I'll get to the Texans in a minute. I want to get to the NFL and the league and games coming up here. Let's go to Walter first in Toronto. Hi, Walter. What's going on, man?
Hey, Sal. You know, I can't help but feeling that this year, this season, sort of feels like the season of the 13-second game. You know, the Bills were on the rise, and it feels that way now because of the rebuild. Whereas the last couple of years, 2 years ago, we were the favorites. I like where we are right now. And just like that year, it looks like KC is going to be the team to beat. And you know, I mean, they're getting all the breaks. The last couple of games, boy, they could easily be 0-2 instead of 2-0. But I have a suspicion the Bills are destined to face KC in the playoffs. But so far, lucky love in the season. I want to call it a rebuild. I know that's more a hockey term, but the Bills.
No, it happens in all sports. Every team can go through it. You know what I mean? Someone actually brought up a good point to me, Walter, when I mentioned about how earlier, if you're listening, when I said you don't get this without the continuity of Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott and being able to draft and develop guys and when they're ready, because if you have changing head coaches, you can't do that all the time. And someone said to me,
incredibly, incredibly insightful, Sal. I never thought about that, but you're right.
Yeah, you know, thank you.
Built this culture. Thanks.
Right. Well, what someone said though, they're like, well, that's what the Sabres have been doing, and that's right. But hockey's different. You have a farm team in hockey. You have a farm club. You have different timelines. You don't just get 3 years and make a decision on a guy essentially, or 4 years. You know what I mean? Like, you can do that, but guys are in organizations in hockey for longer, and you have farm clubs that develop them. It's not the same as football. It is right that if you're doing this in any sport and you're always changing your front office, your head coach, all that, you can never get that consistency to develop. But certainly in football, I think it's a much different animal than most sports because you have such a finite timeline to do it.
And I think that would attract free agents, right?
Yeah.
Coming to a stable organization that's got a great pedigree, great stability, you know, obviously Josh Allen is a big part of that. But that could only, and I know we got more cap room and a lot of picks for next year. So, you know, I mean, the future looks good, especially our start this year. All the best, Al.
You got it, buddy. Thanks for giving a call, as usual. Enjoy hockey season coming up, where I know I'm going to hear even more from you, Walter, right there. All right, let's do it. Let's get to what happened around the NFL yesterday. We had the Thursday night game, of course. The Bills took care of business in Miami, 31-10. Let's start it off with a big upset, knocking me out of my death pool. I took the Raiders to lose. I'm out, but I'm happy because AFC football, all these good teams who can get losses and keep getting losses, you never know how it's going to impact as the year goes on. The Ravens fall to 0-2. Somebody just called and said Ravens clock management. Yeah, I agree. Like, towards the end of the game, there was some thing. I think they had no timeouts. They used those a little bit earlier, right? I mean, Lamar Jackson, 21 of 34, 247. Derrick Henry, 84 yards, a touchdown. They weren't bad on offense, but they allowed Gardner Minshew and the Raiders to be able to hang around and eventually beat him in the end. How about Devontae Adams? 9 catches, 110, and a touchdown. He had a really nice game, Devontae Adams. Raiders. Yes, I know. That's a Chris Berman thing. It's all in our lexicon now, though, right? Raiders 1-1. Ravens 0-2. Chargers are 2-0. They look good, but how impressive are they really, considering they have now played... Who did the Chargers play in their two games? Well, the Raiders, okay, I'll give them a... They beat the Raiders, they beat the Ravens, so there you go. Jim Harbaugh's 2-0. Raiders-Panthers, 2-0. They looked good yesterday, but I just can't shake the fact of who they played. The Carolina Panthers are one of the worst teams I've seen in the NFL in years. They're horrible. Now, that said, it's the NFL, and maybe the Panthers wind up winning next week playing the Raiders. Who knows, right? They look terrible, the Carolina Panthers. They've scored 13 points in 2 weeks. They've given up 47 and 26. So I don't know how good the Chargers are. They look like they're pretty good. Quentin Johnston looks pretty good. But I think the Panthers are just absolutely terrible. They're in the same division as the Saints, who look really, really good. 44 points a week after scoring 47. How much can this keep up? They beat the Cowboys 44-19. Boy, big day for Rashid Shaheed. 4 catches, 96 yards, and a touchdown. Big day for Derek Carr. 2 touchdowns, 243 passing. He didn't have to do much in the second half because Alvin Kamara took care of business. 115 and 3 TDs. Alvin Kamara just loves scoring touchdowns. How about the Cowboys? Couldn't get out of their own way in the first half. They gave up a total of 432 yards. I think most of that was in the first half. Cowboys go to 1-1. Saints go to 2-0. Saints and Buccaneers, the 2-0 teams in the NFC South, they're going to be battling this year. When do they play? Ooh, Saints and Buccaneers. They play October 13th. But how about the Bucs? Folks, that's an impressive win for the Bucs. It's impressive for Baker Mayfield. They go to the Lions. They win 20-16. Baker Mayfield, 12 of 19, super efficient, 185 yards. Chris Godwin goes off, 7 catches, 117, and a touchdown. And their defense just kept stopping Detroit every time Detroit needed a play. Now, Detroit had 463 yards. How about this? Detroit outgained Tampa 463-216 and lost 20-16. The Bucs might be pretty good. We'll see about that. What do they have coming up? Next week. They're against, yeah, they take on the Broncos. Where are the Lions next week? Ooh, the Cards. Got to get to the Cards in a minute. Colts. They do not look like a team that a lot of people thought they would be so far. Anthony Richardson still finding his way, apparently. I mean, they lost to a Packers team who started Malik Willis, who just kept handing the ball off to Josh Jacobs 32 times. Josh Jacobs, 32 carries, 151 yards. Congratulations if you have him in your fantasy league. Although he didn't score a touchdown. Where'd they get their touchdowns from? Wicks. Wicks scores. The wide receiver. That's it. That's all they have for touchdowns. They just played good defense. Kept it conservative. Didn't ask Malik Willis to do much. Malik Willis had a nice game. 12 of 14, 122 and a touchdown. But Anthony Richardson, all this talk about him being like fantasy QB 2 or 3 or 4, not happening right now. He had 204 yards on 34 attempts, 17 completions. I mean, Jonathan Taylor ran for 103 yards on 12 carries, 8.6 yards a carry, but they could not get the ball in the end zone. They lose 16-10. They did eventually get a ball in the end zone. Pierce. What's the, why can't I think of his name? Pierce for the Colts, his first name.
Alec.
Thank you, Alec. I'm thinking of Antonio Pierce because the Raiders, I just saw a video of him hugging Tom Telesco, so I was thinking about him, and he had A. Pierce. There you go. So thank you. Thank you for that, Alec Pierce. Nice job by the Packers. That's a nice win for them. They needed that. Without Jordan Love, they have to sustain here. Just ask your quarterback to go 500 if you have to fill in, and he's already got one win, Malik Willis. Browns at Jags. Browns beat the Jags 18-13. Jags, terrible in the red zone. Something to watch for next week. They could not get into the end zone. Had to settle for field goals. And they're playing a really good defense and a good running game. And the Browns have a guy go for 64 yards, 42 yards, 20 yards for Watson. Browns ran the ball well, 125 yards rushing. Deshaun Watson played a nice game. Wasn't overly spectacular. 12 of 34, 186. Jerry Jeudy, of all people, is their leading receiver, 5 for 73. And then you have Trevor Lawrence and the Jags, who just can't get out of their own way on offense right now. The Jags, through 2 weeks, they have 17-13. They've scored a total of 30 points in 2 weeks, the Jacksonville Jaguars. And they're coming to Buffalo next week. We're going to talk about that game in a little while. They're 0-2. Browns get off the mat a little bit, 1-1. Nice to see that for them. Who do they have next week? Giants. Yeah, I need to talk about them. I'm just going in order here. When I say that, I say I have to talk about them. I will, because I'm getting all these games. Vikings. Talked about it earlier. 23-17 over a Niners team that's a bit banged up, but still has all their weapons. Kittle left for an IV, comes back. I mean, are they bad? Yeah, I mean, McCaffrey, but still. Jordan Mason still had a really good game. He had 100 yards rushing, 5 yards a carry, had a touchdown. Debo. 8 catches, 110 yards. Purdy threw for 219, but Sam Darnold's out here slinging it. 268, 2 touchdowns. Gets Justin Jefferson 4 balls for 133, but Jefferson is hurt. We'll monitor that. Good job by the Vikings, a team that a lot of people, including me, thought would be really bad this year, but said, hey, I did say, better for them to have Sam Darnold than J.J. McCarthy, and that's how it's turning out for them. So, we'll see where they go. Vikings next week get the Texans, as I said. Root for the Vikings in that one, though. And then the Niners have the Rams. Seahawks-Patriots. This game back and forth. I'm going to respect the Patriots a little bit for how they've hung in a couple of games here and actually beat the Bengals and then had the Seahawks on the ropes. That's how they have to play. I'll give credit to Gerard Mayo for knowing his team and how they have to play. This is how they have to try and win games. Low scoring, close to the vest. Don't give up a few big plays. The Seahawks had a few big plays. That's how they wind up winning. Seahawks win this game 23-20 in overtime. The same goes to overtime. Now, passing-wise, Jacoby Brissett only 149 and a touchdown. But they don't need him to do too much. I mean, Antonio Gibson had a nice day, 96 yards. Stevenson had a nice day, 81 yards. That's how they have to win. They still can't really throw the ball downfield. Jalen Polk had a touchdown, but it's a 2-yard touchdown catch. I think it was, wasn't it? Was it 2 yards? Let me see here. Five. It's 5 yards. On the other side, Geno Smith threw the ball 44 times for 327 and a touchdown. DK goes off. 10 catches, 129. Jackson Smith and Jigba goes off. 12 catches, 117. Too many big plays for the bigger plays down the field for the Seahawks. They win. Patriots get kind of knocked off their perch a little bit. But I do think that they're playing the way they need to play, but it's not sustainable to keep winning that way. It's too, your margin for error for the Patriots is just too much. It's just too razor thin, I should say. Jets. Boy, the Titans had them. They let them off the hook, as Dennis Green would say one time. 24-17. This game is back and forth. Looked like it's going to overtime, but the Jets put together a drive. Braden Allen scores 20 yards away. Guy's 20 years old. He's got a rushing touchdown, a receiving touchdown in the same game. Youngest player to ever do that. But this was about Will Levis making terrible decisions. And yesterday I tweeted out at one point, I said, Will Levis is 2019 Josh Allen. And people took such offense to that in Bills country. I'm not saying he's as good as Josh Allen. But some of the, oh my God, what are you doing decisions is all he meant. He also threw some really nice balls. He's not Josh. I get it. He's not going to be Josh. I understand that. Not my point. Sorry for all of you who took so much quick offense to that. I actually deleted it. I did delete the tweet. It was just too much dealing with people coming at me about it. And I'm like, stop. You didn't understand. But I'll take it. I'll own it. I should have phrased it better. It's just some of the decisions you're like, oh my God, I can't believe he just did that. How did he do that? And then all of a sudden he makes a throw down the field to Calvin Ridley. Like, see? That's the kind of arm talent he has. Titans go to 0-2. Jets go to 1-1. The Giants are bad. Surprise, surprise. The Giants are bad. They've scored 6 points and 18 points. They lose to the Commanders 21-18. They lose their kicker during the game. They can't kick. They have to go for 2. Doesn't work out. 21-18 they lose. They scored 24 points in 2 games. Not a good start for Brian Daboll. He was asked specifically about his job status. He was worried about it after the game. He's like, I've been doing this long enough. I don't worry about that. And I agree with that. Now, the Commanders, who get their first win with Jaden Daniels at quarterback, they'll go to the Bengals next week. The Giants, they'll go to the Browns next week. I would think Bengals and Browns have good opportunities to win some games next week. The Arizona Cardinals look really good. Really good yesterday. Kyler Murray looked awesome yesterday. I'm going to tell you, I know I want to save the Cardinals. Surprise, surprise. Hint, hint. In a little while, I'm going to talk more about them. Let me talk about the Rams, though. Matthew Stafford, 19-27, 216. They have now, Puka Nacua is out, and now Cooper Kupp is out. Their leading receiver yesterday. DeMarcus Robinson with 50 yards. Now, 2 weeks ago, the Bills' leading receiver against the Cardinals was Keon Coleman with 51 yards. But 2 catches for 50 yards. Their total offensive output, 245 yards. Not good enough. The Rams are not. I ate the cheese on the Rams when people kept telling me about them. I did not like the Rams as much as people. I didn't. Going into the season, I'm like, I'm not as high on the Rams as everybody. But I just kept hearing everybody else talk about them. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll be high on the Rams. Yeah, I'm not now. 30 points, first 2 games. They get the Niners next week. Steelers are 2-0, folks. Jeremy and Joe said, who's the biggest lie? Could it be the Steelers? I mean, they're 2-0. They're playing nice ball. Defensive football, close to the best football. Again, margin for error, razor thin when you do that. But they did everything they needed to do against the Broncos, who just kept... The Broncos just kept shooting themselves in the foot, making mistake after mistake after mistake. The Broncos lost this game. The Steelers didn't win it, really. Sorry, Steelers fans. It's true. But here comes Mike Tomlin and his pixie dust, as Joe likes to say. And they're 2-0. And now they get the Chargers next week. And the Broncos, 0-2. They go to the Bucks. They're staring 0-3 right in the face. Chiefs get the benefit of a late pass interference call to beat the Bengals. I give the Bengals credit. They played well this game. Bengals should have won this game. They didn't. Chiefs get big field goal from Harrison Butker late in the game, 51-yarder. I mean, the Bengals played pretty well offensively, actually. They outgained the Chiefs, 320 to 286. Mahomes had his lowest passing yardage total for any game he played like a complete game for. 151. That was it. But the big concern for the Chiefs now is Isaiah Pacheco. He is out long term, at least 4 games, and possibly like much longer. That's going to be something to monitor here. The Bengals couldn't really run the ball though. They had total rushing yardage 74. Zach Moss led the way with 34. Mike Gesicki, their leading receiver, 7 catches, 91 yards. Burrow played pretty well, 258 and 2 touchdowns. Then finally last night. I said it earlier. The Texans just kept letting the Bears hang around. The Texans should have put the Bears away. They didn't. Texans now move to 2-0. One of 5 teams in the AFC 2-0. Bears 1-1. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll get the sit up, stand down, hey buddy, and we'll look ahead to the next game as well as give you our injury report.
It's a fake over the middle, and it's caught! Sione Faki with a first down! Jack Fox's 4th complete pass in the National Football League. A strike to Faki, and the rookie from Utah gets a first down on a fake.
They were inside their own 10, right? That's crazy. I was watching like, what is going on here? Just flipping back and forth. The red zone yesterday was great. I don't get a chance to watch red zone that much. Because I'm, you know, at the games on Sundays, right? Red Zone's cool. Just back and forth watching it. They showed that. That was pretty cool. Detroit Lions fake punt right there. All right, Mark in New Jersey. What's going on, brother?
How you doing, Sal? Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I like you. I like to go around the league and watch former, you know, Bills coaches. And, yeah, he sounded pretty defeated up there. Trevor sounded a little embattled. He just seemed frustrated more than angry. But, damn, Mitch Morris got blown up on that safety. He got wrecked. And they have Ronald Darby starting for them at corner. I didn't even remember he was still in the league, but he's their starting corner. Motor coughed it up yesterday. That cost the Giants. Bills took a lot of heat for letting some guys go. And nationally, Trey White got roasted by Marvin Harrison Jr. I just think that was a testament of how good Christian Benford had him locked down and how good of a plan they had for him. And McDermott will never get the credit for the kind of coach he is. There's the Bills fans as distractors that just 13 seconds was.
Well, he will get the credit if he wins the Super Bowl. That's the only way.
Oh, please. That's the only way. But yeah. I'm looking forward to this game. I think that if you watch the Jaguars game, they started getting desperate in that second half, and Lawrence just started throwing it deep and hoping somebody would run under it. I think Thomas caught one. Davis was missed on a few others. I think it's going to be a good game, but I think they're just going to come out desperate. I think the Bills will have the energy for that game, given what happened in London. I think that'll be on their mind. They have a long rest. Jaguars will be, like you said, desperate, and I think it'll be a good game. They're going to come out and try to do something early, but it could end up biting them.
Yeah. Hey, it's going to be a game. I think that, you know, someone just tweeted at me like, why is everybody so scared suddenly of the Jaguars? And I'm not being scared. I mean, that's a team that has some talent. And when you're 0-2 in this league and you have to try and change some things and do some things, just be ready. They're going to come in for a fight. As you said, desperate, whatever the word is, that's going to happen. The other one, as you're talking, Mark, just want to bring this guy up. And it pains me to say, but Tre'Davious White just doesn't look that good.
Yeah, it's he just doesn't have the I don't know. It's like you sustain those kind of leg injuries.
Yeah.
Back to back years, you're all the support. You just don't have the same reflex to twist.
Yeah,
it's sad to see. It's sad to see, but I'm glad they just didn't keep him around as a kind of like a ceremonial guy.
Yeah.
They needed that $10 million.
Yeah, they need to move on. But my point was, because you were bringing up some of the guys they moved on from, that's one they also did. And for the first two games, he's gotten beaten pretty badly. Marvin Harrison Jr., you know, he got after him pretty good yesterday early in that game. So, yeah, thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it, as always. All right, 803-0550, want to jump on board. But we're going to move on here to sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, we got to get right now, though, to our Barnes Injury Report. The Barnes Injury Report is brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Okay. Couple names we're going to be monitoring here this week for the Bills. We know Terrell Bernard is going to be out. We'll see if they put him on IR. There's going to be a decision made on him. I mean, obviously he's not going to play this week, but is there an IR coming for Terrell Bernard with the pectoral injury? It's going to be weeks, right? And that's kind of, at least the Bills, it looked like they avoided anything really long-term with Bernard, but we'll find that out. But the names we're going to go with that could still be back in play here for the Bills: Dewan Smoot, who would be a really nice addition. And, Bo, by the way, they're playing his former team, the Jags, this week. Be great if Dewan Smoot could make his Bills debut on Monday night against the Jacksonville Jaguars. They could really help. They could really use a little bit more of a rotation up front without having to elevate, and it's fine. Kingsley Jonathan's fine. Cameron Klein's fine. But you don't want to keep elevating those guys and using up those elevations. So Smoot's a guy. He's had the toe injury. We'll see. Javon Solomon's had the oblique. Even if he's ready and healthy, is he a guy that gets a jersey on game day? I'm not totally sure at this point. We'll see how the numbers play out. As I said earlier, Joe Andreessen could very well be in line to be a guy that's, you know, getting a jersey and playing. We'll see where that goes. For the Jags, Evan Engram suffered a hamstring injury, the tight end, before the game in pregame warmups. He could not play that game. A hamstring injury. It's 8 days later. Is he going to be able to practice and play? Not sure. Something very significant to monitor for the Jags, Evan Engram. Now, at the end of the game against the Browns, there was a camera shot of Gabe Davis coming off and limping and pointing in like his knee. It looked like his knee. He was limping. He was grabbing it. He was walking, but I didn't see if he went back in like the last play or two. I think it was the last play or two. But either way, just something I'll be looking at too this week to see if he's okay. I didn't hear anything from Doug Peterson when I watched his press conference about Gabe. Evan Engram, though, we'll see what his status is. But hamstring injury that forced you to not play in a game the next week, probably not looking so good, but we'll see about that. In case you missed the news earlier today, non-Bills or Jags related, Isaiah Pacheco of the Chiefs, fibula injury. They're going to place him in IR at least 4 weeks. It could be a lot longer than that. We'll see about that. That's your Barnes Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. We'll be back up here with Sit Up, Stand Down, Hey Buddy, and then we'll do, of course, a look ahead to our next game on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, on the Catholic Health Extra Point Show, on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. All right, time for Sit Up, Stand Down, Hey Buddy. This is the part of the program where every week I say, let's sit up on something in the NFL. Let's stand down on something in the NFL. And I got a buddy to give you. Okay. We need to sit up on the Arizona Cardinals. Folks, that was impressive yesterday what they did to the LA Rams. And it makes the Bills win look way better and way more impressive than it did even a few days ago. Yesterday, these are Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray, 266 yards and 3 touchdowns. 59 yards rushing. James Conner, 122 and a touchdown. Marvin Harrison, 4 catches, 130 and 2 touchdowns. And they hold the Rams to 245 yards total to 10 points. The Cardinals look good. I will tell you this. Be thankful the Bills played the Cardinals week one. They're just going to keep getting better. They're going to figure themselves out even more. Cardinals are, I think, legit after watching yesterday. And going back to being down 17-3 and coming back, the Bills did in week one, even more impressive. So, yeah. Sit up on the cards. Okay. Let's stand down on anointing Caleb Williams, this unbelievable, great first-round pick that has the best setup ever, so he's just going to go straight to stardom right away. No. First week, week one, and this is not to say he's bad. I think he'll be fine. I like Caleb Williams. Week one, 93 yards passing, 14 of 29 in week one. And then last night against the Houston Texans, 23 of 37, 174 yards. So he's got 270 yards, 260-something yards in two games, has yet to throw a touchdown pass in his NFL career, threw two picks last night. He can do some nice things. It sucked not having Keenan Allen for him, I'm sure. But we need to stand down on this immediate Caleb Williams anointment of greatest setup ever for a first number one overall pick. He's going to be amazing right away. Just start him immediately. Even I kind of bought into that, which is because I like their offense, but let's stand down a little bit, okay?
I bought into it.
Takes a little time in this league.
It's killing my fantasy team because of it. I didn't draft him high. I was like, you know what? I'm going to get all these other guys.
Him?
Yeah.
Oh.
But
I draft him, too, backup, as a backup for a keeper next year.
My backup, though, is Sam Darnold. So I'm like, focused on all the other stuff first and then waited way too long on quarterbacks.
I would actually think about starting Darnold, but more than anything, just pick somebody else up.
The problem is it's a 14-man league, so there's not many options out there. I'm going to try to swing a trade because I got some other big names, but it's not going well so far.
Okay.
It's been very rough.
You might have to start Darnold. Okay, let's get to my buddy, and then we will talk about the next game.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey, buddy.
Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey, buddy.
Bunny, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Blue, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
Okay, the guy who's my buddy today... first time this has ever happened, I think this is the right name, but I'm not even totally positive. I'm going to trust that this is the right name. His name is Dwight Stoeffler. Have you ever heard of Dwight Stoeffler? Okay, did you watch the game last night? I felt really bad for this guy. There, he was doing the chain gang for the Texans. He was standing on the sidelines. There was a play that came by. He stepped back. He didn't even get hit. Josh, he stepped back, tripped over the goal line marker, or the 10, fell back and hit his head, an older gentleman. He was down for quite a while. Medical personnel tended to him. He ultimately got up. They put him on a cart or whatever. They wheeled him into the locker room. The reason I say his name is Dwight Stoeffler, because Melissa Stark said his name is Dwight Stoeffler. So I'm going to trust Melissa here.
I'm reading articles, too.
Okay.
And they're all saying the same name, so.
Yeah, it was tough to watch. And I'm just telling you, I say this all the time. Down there, all those people down there, that is a fraternity that I'm a part of. Like, we are all in there together every game. And I am surprised this doesn't happen more often. Some people down there just doing their job. They're not even paying attention to where the ball is necessarily. You could say, well, they should be. Like, security gets hit because they're watching the stands. And people get hit their backs, right? Somebody got hurt really bad, I think, in a Bills game a few years ago. Because they're watching, doing their job, and they got hit in the back. These people on the sidelines who, camera people, photogs, like videographers, sideline personnel, the chain gang, like they're just standing there doing their job, and these things come so quick. These plays, these players are so big and fast. I am surprised this doesn't happen more often. I felt so bad for this guy. Let's hope he's okay. Dwight, you are my buddy. When the Bills play the Texans in a few weeks, I hope Dwight is back doing his job so I can say hi to him. I'd like to be able to do that because we are all a fraternity down there. We look out for one another. I can't tell you how many times someone goes, Sal, watch out. Or I say to somebody, hey, watch out because something's coming your way. So my buddy is Dwight Stoeffler, an older gentleman doing the sidelines, chain gang, last night for the Houston Texans who got knocked down and hit his head. Let's hope he's okay. Okay. Time to look ahead to the next game. This is brought to you by Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. You can pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. I've told you before, you all know, I'm not a beer drinker. I like my seltzers. I love this stuff. Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. Rich Pete, who's a big Bills fan, Lake Hour, he founded this with Wyatt Russell, Kurt Russell's son, Goldie Hawn's son. We had him on the radio. That's their product. That's their company. Go check it out, Lake Hour. All right, and I want to make sure I give you the exact address because it's lakehour.com, of course. There it is. It's lakehour.com. And you can go there and you can check it all out. They have great flavors. Okay, next week, the Bills, Monday Night Football. You grew up in an era of the Bills always playing on Monday night, I think, kind of, right? Like, maybe not. Like, during the drought, they didn't really at all. But last several years, they've been on. Like, do you remember when the Bills would never be on Monday Night Football?
Yeah, I remember a few years ago, it was like the most primetime games in like however many years for the Bills. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. And now I'm like, it's still really cool, but it's so late at night. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure, right?
I love the 1 o'clock kickoffs. So.
Dude, you know that Monday Night Football used to be 9 p.m.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, Monday Night Football was 9 p.m.
No way. I could not imagine that. Like,
well,
staying up that late.
Here's the good news for you, Josh. 7:30 p.m. start Monday night. It is an early start. Why? Because there's a Monday Night Football game going out at the same time, starting 45 minutes later. This is one of those Monday Night Football doubleheader weekends that the NFL has been trying and doing in the last few years. Jags-Bills Monday at 7:30 p.m. and then at 8:15, Commanders at Bengals. It's all going on at once. Again, Jags off to an 0-2 start. They have not looked good, but they have talent. They have firepower. They have a history here against the Bills, too. We know that. They beat the Bills in London last year. Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, of course, the return of Gabe Davis, Mitch Morse. They have Christian Kirk, who hasn't really been getting super involved. Evan Ingram looks like he is, you know, we talked about it, could be injured, could be out of the game. We'll see exactly where that goes. This is not going to be an easy game for the Bills. This is a team, Jacksonville, that we'd be very desperate. I guarantee you they will put together a hard, good week of practice to not want to fall to 0-3. Their next few games, Bills, Texans, Colts. So Bills and Texans on the horizon for them. Okay, we'll take you now to One Bills Live. We got Chauvin the Bulldog coming up after that. That is your look ahead to the next game. Brought to you by Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. Pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. LakeHour.com. Sal Capaccio back with you later this week. Bills Jags week, Monday Night Football, One Bills Live up next.